Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. From the Battle of Gettysburg to September 11th, the assassinations of Abraham Lincoln and John Kennedy, the moon landing, and the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, U.S. postage stamps have commemorated some of America's key historical and cultural moments. Beyond memorializing shared milestones, stamps tell a deeper story of American history and preferences and creativity and self-image. Chris West explores all of those layers of narrative in his book, A History of America in 36 Postage Stamps. Chris West, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
The very first stamp in America was the result of the Stamp Act in 1765, which actually resulted in the Boston Tea Party. So America really started with a hatred of stamps. What was going on?
Well, it wasn't really a postage stamp. It was a revenue stamp. But if you're doing a history of America, you've really got to start round about the War of Independence. It was the first real example of taxation without representation. It meant that any printed paper had to have a stamp embossed on it, for which you had to pay the tax man for the privilege. So it's a bit like, I don't know, having a tax on emails or a tax on telephone conversations or something. It was a tax on communication. It really bit into people's lives in the way that taxation hadn't before. So it was very unpopular. And as things were in those days, politics was carried on in the streets, and effigies of the stamp commissioners were burnt in the streets. And there was a slogan, liberty, property, and no stamps.
When did the U.S. actually start using stamps for postage?
The first formal U.S. government stamps came out in 1847, when there was a 5 cent with Ben Franklin and a 10 cents with George Washington on. So that's really when it sort of officially began.
I have to stop you. 5 and 10 cents? That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, it was. Yes, I mean, you know, it was an expensive business getting post around the place in those days. We didn't, you know, there was a rider had to carry stuff through pretty rough country to get it from A to B. So it was an expensive business getting mail around.
How had letters been sent prior to these postage stamps in 1847?
Well, there had always been systems. Way back in 1639, there was a system whereby letters would arrive in Boston and they'd be taken to the house of a guy called Richard Fairbanks, and you could just come and pick the letters up. You had to pay for the privilege. Then there were various attempts made at a kind of postal distribution system, most of which didn't work until 1711, and finally a system got off the ground. And of course, 20 years after that, Ben Franklin was postmaster of Philadelphia, and it sort of grew from there, really.
So Ben Franklin's image was on some of those first stamps. Also George Washington with the Roman numeral X. Now, what was going on there? What were they trying to communicate?
That's a very interesting question, and the answer is nobody knows. I was speaking to a collection of real expert philatelists last night in New York, and I asked this question and nobody knew the answer. But of course it does say a lot about George Washington. It shows that he was a man of sort of classical education. He'd read Roman and Greek writers. He was connected with the British sort of establishment in that way, in a way that Franklin wasn't. Franklin's very much a sort of self-taught guy.
And you talk about Franklin, the 1 cent Benjamin Franklin stamp. Now, this was began in...
That came out in 1851.
Now, this stamp had entire books written about it. Why is it so beloved?
Well, there are so many varieties of it. Philatelists love variety. You know, if there's an extra dot in the left-hand corner, everyone goes nuts about it. So it's they love it. So, and because the technology was new, the printing, no two Ben Franklin 1851s are quite the same.
All of the stamps that we talked about, you know, these feature national leaders. When did the U.S. Postal Service depart from that tradition?
Well, they departed in 1869 when they came out with what I consider to be, and many other stamp collectors now, consider to be a beautiful series. My favourite is a picture of a wonderful Baldwin 24-ton locomotive on it, with a great, you know, great big cow catcher and that great big smokestack, and you can just imagine it going across the Wild West. In 1869, nobody liked it. They hated it. Where's George Washington? They said, we don't want a locomotive on our stamps. We want George Washington. So the issue was removed, and they went back to showing national leaders.
But the reaction to the locomotive does raise a question. Were stamps more cherished back then? I mean, have they lost that kind of significance, the ability to rile the public through the years?
I don't think so, no. I think that people do take them seriously. I think, obviously, now... Well, the Potter one's a very interesting example of that, because there was quite a fuss about that, because they showed living people, and there's been a kind of unwritten rule that you don't show living people on US stamps. Mm-hmm. So the president doesn't get shown until he's passed away. And then there's Daniel Radcliffe on the stamp waving his wand around, and there's a living person. And the USPS say, well, it's not really a living person. It's a role played in a film. And that was quite controversial. A lot of people said, hey, this is breaking a long tradition. We don't like this.
Let's go back then to some of the earlier stamps. America started to use stamps in 1847. Now, 14 years later, it enters the Civil War. What kinds of changes do we see in stamps during that time?
Well, obviously the main one is you get two loads of stamps. You get the Union stamps, and the Confederates issued their own stamps. And they actually broke the rule, and they had a stamp with Jefferson Davis on it, who was the president of the Confederate States of America. So you could argue, well, it wasn't a US stamp, so the rule is the same. But a stamp from what is now the USA, he was for many years the only living person to have been shown on a stamp.
You know what I think about, like, during that time, how important was postage to the country during that time?
It was incredibly important. I mean, you see it in these heartbreaking letters that people have from the front. No other war had had that before. The Civil War was kind of the first postal war, really.
But, of course, President Lincoln was also assassinated.
Yes, indeed.
Well, how soon was he memorialized by the Postal Service?
Well, he was memorialized a year after. There was a year of mourning, and then on April the 14th, 1866, a rather somber black 15-cent stamp came out. He's looking rather haunted on it. It is a stamp of deep tragedy, I think, because that was such a tragedy for the nation.
We're speaking with Chris West. He's author of A History of America in 36 Postage Stamp. It's a glimpse of America's rich philatelic history, from George Washington's grave gaze to the charging buffalo of the Western frontier, Lindbergh's soaring biplane, and, of course, the skinny Elvis. American stamps give us a window into our past and our present. Well, stamps have such a strong message, you know, in addition to that, thinking of, you know, putting our national leaders, our symbols of democracy, on our stamps. When does the U.S. start to use stamps as kind of tools for propaganda, for messaging?
Well, the real king of that was FDR, who was a stamp collector and had been from his youth. And he understood very, very clearly the power of the stamp as a bearer of a message. And the stamps up until 1933 had been a bit cluttered. And he said, right, I want the stamps bright colours, uncluttered, with a nice, clear, positive, upbeat message.
So they have stamps that, for example, were used to promote the New Deal, marking peace conferences. We have the first photograph of the Earth in the 1960s. But when do we actually start to see popular culture reflected in stamps? You mentioned Harry Potter, but that's fairly recent.
Well, it really comes in with a great blast at the beginning of the Clinton era. Suddenly the baby boomers are in charge, and it's shown very quickly on the stamps. I think, actually, to be precise, the decision had been made even before Clinton came to the White House, but it coincides with extraordinary accuracy and sort of appropriateness. The famous popular culture stamp of that year is the Elvis stamp.
Oh, right, when you got to vote for the fat or the skinny Elvis.
You got vote for the fat or the skinny, absolutely, that's right.
So, I'm sorry, refresh our memory on that. What was going on?
1993, they had a competition to see which of two designs of Elvis Presley people wanted on a stamp. And you could go into a post office and vote on a piece of paper. And there was a young Elvis and an old Elvis, and the young Elvis won, I think, quite convincingly. And the stamp came out, and it is a classic, and it is still the most collected U.S. stamp.
I've been hearing an awful lot about the slow death of the U.S. Postal Service for quite some time now. Where do you see the future of stamps?
Well, I just think they're going to tootle along. I mean, I don't... The problem is that nowadays a lot of the parcel post, for example, which is the booming sector, doesn't seem to use stamps. I think there's also a problem with a kind of philatelic inflation, that there's, you know, the more issues come out purely aimed at collectors, the more, in a sense, it becomes an artifice. The joy of stamp collecting is partially that this thing was stuck on a letter. And so, going back to the Civil War, there might have been a letter, a love letter, or a letter from someone who's dying or something. I mean, this was serious stuff. But just a sort of series of little bits of paper with Mickey Mouse on or something doesn't have the same depth of story to it. And I think the depth of story attached to the used stamps is part of their fascination.
Well, Chris West, wonderful speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Virginia. It's been great.
Chris West, author of A History of America in 36 Postage Stamps, also A History of Britain in 36 Stamps. You'll find photos of some of the remarkable stamps that we talked about today, as well as others, on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Up next on Word of Mouth, the latest in our Good Gig series. That's conversations with people who've landed their dream job. We're going to hear from a fire repeller who helps fight wildfires by jumping into them from a helicopter. That's after the break.